Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Going to give you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Kirk Morrison joins us now here on the phone. Wait a second. Where's that sweet, sweet Comrex you have?
Well, right now the office space is being used. When kids have a Zoom call that start at 11, dad gets kicked out of the office. So I let the kids have it because I'll be using it later tonight for a while with the draft and post-draft stuff. So a little give and take here.
Because that's interesting, because I used to give up my office space, and then I said, wait a second, we can just download Zoom on an iPad. You know what I'm saying? Like that, we can make that happen. I can just keep my office space. So I think...
Yeah, but when you got multiple kids doing it at one time, that means you got to spread up the
that's
iPad.
True.
So one
that's
is true. There, one's on the desktop, and I'm on the phone. So yeah, we juggle it one week. Like I said, it's the new norm, so we make it work.
All right, so here are my top three teams with the most pressure on them tonight. You ready?
Sure.
All right, number one, the Miami Dolphins, for obvious reasons. They have the most, capital, draft capital. They have a team that hasn't been good, basically, for 21 years. They've only made the playoff three times in that span. And if you're going to make a rebuild happen, like, this is the time to make it happen. Like, there's a lot of pressure on them. And by the way, I think they have a good coach. So I think that you know, you want to give that guy some ammunition. The number two team, the Los Angeles Chargers. I think they don't have an identity. They were the sexy pick last year. I know they're going with Tyrod Taylor to be the game manager, but they need someone to be the face of the franchise. And I think that, particularly if Tua's there, they'd be really dumb to not take him, because you don't have to play him right away. Like, you have Tyrod Taylor. You can sit him. And number three on that list, the Raiders. The Raiders, because I don't believe they have a franchise quarterback. I believe that it's year three of Gruden, and we need to see another leap. They also play in the division with the Super Bowl champions and the best player maybe on the planet in Patrick Mahomes. And at 12-19, their biggest need is corner. I don't know if an elite one will be available there. They should be able to get a receiver there if they need one. But they may not be able to get a good quarterback there either. So I think there's a lot of pressure on them for all those aforementioned reasons. Where are you on the teams that have the most pressure?
I agree with you on a couple of those. Obviously, I do think the Miami Dolphins, I won't say they have a lot of pressure, because this was a complete rebuild. So I don't know if there's pressure for them tonight. They have so many draft picks that if they hit on at least half of them or even a quarter of them, right? I think right now they currently have, 14 picks or something like that. I got to double check, because I know that I have them on my mock draft on ESPN, losangeles.com, that I have them trading, the Miami Dolphins trading up to 3 to with the Detroit Lions to grab Tua Tagovailoa. This has been the plan, I think, for them for, I think, the last year. It's been tank for Tua, and finally they have the draft capital to get it. So that's why I don't see them having big pressure, George. But to go to those other two teams, yeah. I mean, the Los Angeles Chargers, they have a ton of pressure, right? Do they have the quarterback on their roster currently that they feel that they can go into the 2020 season with? I don't believe that. Look, love Tyrod Taylor, but sometimes, hey, you just understand that he's a backup quarterback in this league, and he's a terrific backup, just not my starter. They have to draft a quarterback for the future. They have to make the splashy, I think, pick. It's not Cam Newton right now, but if they don't get the quarterback that they want tonight, that's where the pressure comes in. And then you mentioned it, the Raiders, right? They have picks 12 and 19. I think they're going to get – I have them getting CeeDee Lamb. I think that he's a perfect fit for them. And then I think they also can get a Christian Fulton. There's still some high-end corners, probably not the top-end guys, but high-end players at pick 19. So this is I think it's a deep draft in certain positions, and the Raiders will be fine. But I also throw the New York Jets in there too. Look, second year under Adam Gase. Remember, they had caught fire last year with letting a lot of guys go. But this is a team that's under a lot of pressure. They need to give some weapons to Sam Darnold, who we know is going into year three. And after year three, is he ready for a Goff or a Carson Wentz type of contract yet, George? So, yeah, Jets are in a lot of pressure for tonight.
Is Sam Darnold good?
That's yet to be seen, really, right? You had the rookie year, which you kind of expect. You saw the the flashes of how good a quarterback he can be. And then last year he had the mononucleosis, so, and he was out for a period of time. Now the Jets still ended up playing pretty good football, but this is kind of the make or break year. That's why I put the pressure on the New York Jets to get him some more weapons, get him some more guys around him. I have them drafting Henry Ruggs, receiver out of Alabama, a good speedster, a good route runner, a guy who can get down the field. I think that's what Sam Darnold needs. He had that at USC with all the different receivers he was able to work with. Now give him some better guys to go out there and throw the football to, and we can have a better evaluation of Sam Darnold. George, that's the tough part, is that it's hard to evaluate when he's on, what, his third head coach? Oh, well, sorry, second head coach. Second head coach. Really only his third year in the league. So now we can really get an evaluation. That's why the Jets just have to take care of business in this draft tonight, get him more weapons, get him more guys around him, because he already has Le'Veon Bell.
So you like Tua. Do you think Tua, like, we had Lane Kiffin. Laura, bring up the Lane Kiffin sound. So Lane Kiffin did an interview recently where he believed that Tua would be the guy if had he not gotten hurt. Let me hear the Lane Kiffin sound. I'd love to get Kirk's thoughts on that.
You know, because the injury, Joe's going to go first. I think that's a given. You know, I think it would be interesting. Tua wasn't still in that game against Mississippi State, so obviously doesn't get hurt. Uses the bye before, you know, not play, you know, before Auburn, you know, get healthy, and they'd probably beat Auburn. I think everybody would say that. Then I think we're arguing about who's number one. You guys would be spending all day talking about Tua or Joe. But because of the injury, you know, it is what it is. But I'd look at it, if I'm drafting five or six, and, you know, I'd go to the owner and say, hey, here's the thing. We're actually getting a guy that would be potentially the first pick of the draft, and we're getting him at five and six. This is a great deal.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, anytime I hear draft stuff with Lane Kiffin, I always think about when he was my head coach of the Oakland Raiders in 2007, and I think he wanted, you know, Calvin Johnson, and yet the organization, I should say our owner at the time, the late Al Davis, the great Mr. Al Davis, drafted a guy by the name of Jamarcus Russell, and he really set the franchise back. So sorry about that, George. It's taking me down memory lane when I hear Lane Kiffin talk about the draft. But just hearing that part, I mean, honestly, I always felt that throughout the season, it was going to be Joe Burrow. I know before the season started, it was about Tua. But when the Cincinnati Bengals had the first pick, it was just too good to be true. He's a hometown, you know, a Ohio kid, you know, kind of. The story was just too good for them. The story is way too good for the Cincinnati Bengals to pass up with Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy, all that stuff. I don't even look at the medical. I think the medical, it does not bother me at all. I think there's a ton of teams who are going to go after Tua. A lot of people saying he's going to slide. I don't see the slide. I mean, he's just too good of a quarterback. We've seen it over the 3 years that he played at Alabama. And I think a lot of teams would love to have Tua. That's why I don't listen to the smoke screen. I just wait for tonight's draft, and I think he'll be one of the guys taken really high. I, like I said, I got him going three with the Dolphins trading up to get him.
Is Justin Herbert any good? Like, I don't feel like he's that good, and everyone talks about prototypical size and arm strength, but he just doesn't – the film doesn't lie. Like, he's just not that great. He actually regressed, in my opinion.
Well, I think you're doing what a lot of people should do, and that's, you know, basically you're hearing with your eyes, right? Like, you watch the game and you see the game and you're like listening. You're like, I don't hear it. I don't see it a ton of times with Justin Herbert. And the thing about it with Justin was that you knew going into this senior year for him that this was going to be a year in which, you know, a lot of people have him on a lot of draft boards. But yet when you watched him throughout the year, did he really excite you? Did you say, wow, that guy is going to be taken in the top 10 of the draft? A lot of his hype has come from what you just talked about, his measurables, right? He's 6'5", and he's 230 pounds. He's got a big arm. But I've watched Tua, and I watched Joe Burrow pass my eye test every single week in the biggest games and the biggest moments, and you saw them get better throughout the season. You saw them get better each and every game. I don't know if I can say about that with Justin Herbert. I didn't see him each and every week say, wow, you know, week one, that was a bad pass for him. By now, week 10, I mean, he's completing that pass easily in his sleep. I just never got the feeling with that with Justin Herbert. And that's why I see him more of as a project. You know, George, I just go back in just a couple years. You think about the draft with Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, the guys who are two former Heisman Trophy winners. Both of them went one and number two. And one currently is not in the league, and the other one is a backup with the Raiders. That's why I'm just you know, sometimes people can hype up the quarterbacks, but you really got to see what system they go to and really how do they acclimate themselves as soon as possible to make sure that they fit that system.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that he's a long-term kind of guy. Like, I don't think he, to your point, he's like a guy that you say right now, oh, I'm turning the keys over to him. Because if not, you're in for what I think is a really long season.
Yeah, a really long season. It just depends. Because we've always heard that, like, you know, what are you going to do? When you draft him, are you going to sit him for a year? Or is he going to kind of do a redshirt? There is no redshirting in the NFL anymore. I mean, obviously, Patrick Mahomes did that, but Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs were a good football team. They didn't necessarily need Patrick Mahomes at the time. If he gets drafted in the top 10 or even the top 20, he will play this season. That's just a given. That's just the way the NFL works. He will play, but will he be ready to play? That's my only thing, because we've seen it pretty quickly. You can be exposed fairly quickly in the National Football League. And think about this, Josh Rosen, and I'm not comparing Justin Herbert to Josh Rosen, but I'm saying Josh Rosen may be out of the league in 3 years for the former top 10 pick, just because of you only get one shot at it. When it doesn't work, this league moves right past you.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's any question about it. Look, as we kind of look at the quarterback landscape, what do you make of the possibility of a team like just taking a flyer on Cam Newton?
Well, I mean, Cam is a former MVP. Well, former, he is an MVP in this league, in the NFL. So I think for him, it's just about the right fit. He is a starter still. He just, for him right now, as a free agent, there is no rush. You know, why go to a team right now that possibly can draft a kid? And now you're like, okay, now I'm on a bridge quarterback. I'm only here for 1 year. You go out and you look around and you see what teams that couldn't get things done. I mean, a lot of people are linking him. I think if I look at New England, I know some can't see it, but I can see him in New England. If they don't upgrade the quarterback position, I think that he can beat out another Auburn kid and Jarrett Stidham. So that's where I kind of look at where he's at right now with Cam, is that there's no reason to rush. There are some teams that are going to be high on Cam if they don't feel comfortable what they can get in the draft at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I'm just one of these guys that thinks that when I look at, like, the big picture here, and I'm looking at Burrow specifically, like, right. I know he can throw the ball, and I know you've seen him a million times, and I just don't love that there's not enough of a sample size, right? Like, you know, I look at him a little bit as a one-year wonder. You know what I'm saying? Like, why couldn't it work at Ohio State? And I know that there are different reasons, right? Like, I get that right. There are reasons behind this stuff. But there's a reason they let him walk. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that he was in a perfect situation. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Matt Leinart. Not to say that he's Matt Leinart, but it reminds me a little bit of that. He wasn't touched. His offensive line kept him clean. He had tremendous weapons. Like, I just don't know if he's a guy that can elevate your franchise. Like, I'm not ready to label him that, which is why I'm worried at him at the number one pick.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people will kind of have that, you know, skepticism a little bit. But for me, I just, like you mentioned, I saw him multiple times. And the thing is, when he was a freshman, you know, he had to sit behind JT Barrett, who was arguably one of the best quarterbacks to ever play in the Big Ten when you look at his numbers and his production. And then when Joe Burrow got the opportunity to compete for the job, he lost out to a top five pick in Dwayne Haskins. And then after that, he decided to, okay, I'm going to transfer. He played 2 years at LSU. He brought that program back. And then they, you know, found an offensive mind, right? And the offensive mind that they brought in to kind of be his Joe Brady, who was, you know, a former NFL assistant. Now he's the offensive coordinator with the Carolina Panthers. Joe Burrow ran an NFL offense last year. And that's how he got better. He was better suited for the NFL game, and that's when his game really took off last year. He was making NFL throws, George. He was making NFL reads. He was going to number one, progression two, progression three, and he did it at a high level. And then he did it against Alabama. He did it against, you know, we saw it against Clemson, right? He did it against some of the better teams in all of college football. And I think that's where I was sold on Joe Burrow, is that I saw him get better each and every game, where some of these other guys, it's tough. You know, outside of him and Tua, I just see a big drop-off when it comes to the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. We'll open up the phones. If you got draft questions for your team, whatever team it is, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Kirk covers college football during the season. He played in the NFL. He knows his stuff, all right? So we're going to get you the opportunity to ask your questions right now, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you have draft questions, hit us up now. We're back in a couple of minutes. More with Kirk Morrison. Don't forget, at 11:30, we're playing our game. We're going to give you a chance to win Rams swag. We're going to play our head-to-head game, our trivia game. So stick around for that. Mason, 11:40. Sedano, 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Kirk Morrison hanging out with us today. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or call them at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Kirk Morrison doing draft talk. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to play our game. We've got Ram swag to give away. Here's the deal. We're going to pit two people against each other, and you get three sets of questions to pick from. Basically, it's almost like college football overtime rules. We're going to put you at the 20-yard line, and you get one drive. Okay, and you can pick a first down question, which is the easiest, a touchdown question, which is the hardest, or a field goal question, which is in the middle. But you get only one drive. So here's the deal. You could pick three easy questions and get in the end zone and score seven, and then the next person will go. Or you could put the pressure on right out of the gate and go for a field goal or a touchdown. But that's it. Once you score, if you score that, if you get that question right and you score, the other person gets the chance to either tie or win in that situation based on how many points you scored. So we got a lot of questions. They're all trivia questions based on the radio station, and the winner will win the Rams swag, and that's going to happen at 11:30. And if you don't like the questions, you can blame Bergman because he came up with them. It's very simple.
It's very easy to blame me. Go right ahead.
I'm just saying, but I think it'll be a fun way to give away the Ram swag. So, Kirk Morrison, today is draft day. Can you tell me just kind of your draft story, like what it was like? Tell me where you were, who you were with, all that stuff before we get to some calls.
Yeah, man, it was an amazing day. I always remember it. I was in Irvine, California. That's where I had did all my off-season combine training and all of that. And so it was me, my agent, my mom, and my brother, and my cousin. It was just a small group of us. And, you know, that's when the draft was two days, right? Rounds 1 through 3 was on Saturday, and rounds 4 through 7 was on Sunday. The draft started, I believe, George, about 8 a.m., I believe, on Saturday. And I just know that I waited. And I had a window of time that we knew, like round 2, about pick, we had it right around pick 56 through about 80. So that's because we had the teams and we knew kind of what teams are going to be looking for, and just from the interviews that I did. So right around the second round, I'm like locked in. I'm ready to roll. And, you know, it took a while, but I got picked. It was about 6:30 in the afternoon, George. I mean, I had left a couple times just to clear my head, but I always remember that phone call I got. And the crazy part was, I got a phone call from a 510 number, George, and area code 510 is actually my hometown, born and raised in Oakland, California. So I'm like, which one of my family members is calling me? And I picked it up, and I remember it was the secretary for the Oakland Raiders. And she said, yes, hi, can I speak to Kirk Morrison? And I was like, yeah, this is him. And she says, oh, hi, Kirk. Coach Turner's on the other line. Are you able to speak with him? I said, yeah, patch him through.
Wait, that would have been funny if you'd been like, nah, I'm busy.
No, man, I was ready to roll. So, you know, he patched me through. And then he said, you know, Norv, just because we had a prior relationship, he was my coach in the Senior Bowl, and he was like, yeah, so I guess we're about to pick you, I guess. I don't know how this thing works. And I guess your little name is going to come across the bottom of the screen or something. So, yeah, have fun, man. You ready to be a Raider? And literally, I couldn't hear anything else that he was saying. Like, my body kind of went numb. My football life kind of just flashed before me from, you know, everything I did from Pop Warner, high school, college. It was a great moment to share with the family, and, you know, saw my name get picked number 78 overall in the third round of the 2005 draft. And the rest was history. 8 years in the league, and now I get a chance to kind of relive those moments watching these guys get drafted.
877-710. That's a great story, man. 877-710-ESPN. If you want to hop aboard, 877-710-3776. If you have a draft question for Kirk, we only got 5 more minutes. So if you want to hop aboard, let's do it. So I got some questions via social media. Kirk, what would you do with your Raiders at 12-19? What are the positions you would target?
Yeah, I'm targeting a wide receiver, right? They need someone who can stretch the field. They don't have that, right? Last year was supposed to be Antonio Brown, and we know how that worked out. Tyrell Williams, to me, he's a number two. He's always been a number two. But he needs a guy who can open up some things for him. So I think Tyrell Williams will get a receiver on the opposite side of him that could be a speed burner, that can run great routes. That's why I think CeeDee Lamb, probably not the fastest, but yet you still have to get some attention toward him. I think the Raiders go with wide receiver, and there's going to be a nice little group of them at that time. The Raiders will be picking at 12. 19, they got to go corner, right? That's a position of need. Last year, they traded away Gary and Conley, who was their first-round pick a couple years back out of Ohio State. But this is now the Gruden and Mayock Raiders, and they need to go corner. They need to get someone that they can solidify for the next, 4 to 5, maybe even 10-plus years at that position. And that's why I got them pictured that they can go Gladney out of TCU, or I like Christian Fulton, another one of those LSU guys proven out of the SEC. I think that'll be a solid pick for them at 19.
Kirk, here's another question for you. Hey, guys, what should the Niners do? I know we're good. We're on the precipice of winning a Super Bowl, but what are our biggest area of needs? Go ahead, Kirk. What would you do if you were the Niners?
Same thing, wide receiver, right? When you think about all throughout that 49ers team, I mean, they've pretty much have like 15 running backs on the roster. They've got the quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. They don't have to worry about Tom Brady coming there. They've got the tight end in Kittle. Defensively, right? One of the best defenses we saw in all the National Football League last year. So everything is pretty set, but what? The wide receiver position. And we look at how the 49ers really took off last year when they traded for Emmanuel Sanders from Denver. I think that they need to find a complimentary wide receiver that can come in and really give them a boost to outside of Deebo Samuel, who was kind of their pick last year, who did pretty much everything. You actually led the team in receiving. They get a receiver, and look, the Raiders, I said CeeDee Lamb, but this could be a Jerry Jeudy kind of area for the 49ers. And they get him, that would be an awesome pickup for them, and that really helps solidify that offense going forward.
Here's another one, at Sedano. Kirk, I'm a Rams fan. I don't trust the running back situation. What do you do in the second round? Do you take a running back there? There's some good ones in the draft.
Well, I've never trusted their running back position, even when they had Todd Gurley on there, because I never said who was going to be his backup. And then when Todd Gurley leaves, you know, Malcolm Brown, good player, but he doesn't scare you. Daryl Henderson, still a puppy, right? We don't know, you know, what he can do in the league, right? So to me, either you're going after Devontae Freeman in free agency a little bit later in this offseason, or you go out and maybe DeAndre Swift is still on the board. I highly doubt it. He should be the first running back taken. But, man, what if a Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, he's still out there, right? You know, what if Eno Benjamin from Arizona State's out there? There are some guys, George, that the Rams can really take in that second round that can really give you a nice little duo with Daryl Henderson as well. And I like the youth because you still have some young players that can give you, I won't say what Todd Gurley can do by himself, but, man, you can add up and get some of those kind of production that we see from the 49ers where they do it with 3 to 4 backs. I think the Rams may be kind of similar into getting that running back by committee.
Here's another one on the Rams. Kirk, should the Rams draft O-line considering how poorly they performed there last year?
Well, I don't know. I think when you look at the O-line, they just had injuries. It's the first time that this team was injured, right? When you lose 2 to 3 guys on an offensive line, that didn't happen in the run to the Super Bowl. I think Andrew Whitworth is obviously something that guys are going to keep their eye on as he gets older. Could this be his last year? You always keep that in the back of your mind. But I thought the Rams actually have drafted well. They'll get Brian Allen back at center, who was injured. Well, Austin Blythe is still there. Havenstein, who was banged up last year, he'll be back at the right tackle. So, to me, no boom is going to be back. I mean, you actually have drafted well quietly, and you give these guys another year of continuity. I think the Rams are going to be okay on the offensive line. But would you take one later in the draft? Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you get to round 4 or 5, yeah, maybe do that. But I think for the Rams, they need some skill position players, right? Especially, I say, linebacker. They still need pass rush. They still need some things to get done in the early part of the draft.
All right, and one last one. And don't forget, speaking of the Rams, we're going to do our Rams giveaway in the next segment. So we're going to line up some calls. We're going to pit two members of the audience against each other to try to win the Rams swag. So you're going to have to answer trivia questions on the radio station. So be ready for that. Last one. Kirk, who is the best defensive player in this draft?
Oh, man. A lot of people are going to say Chase Young. He'll be pick number two tonight by the Washington Redskins. I would have to go Isaiah Simmons. I got him going number four to the New York Giants. He's just a guy that reminds me of a Swiss Army knife, right? Wherever you want to use him, wherever you want to line him up at. You know, I always go back to Brian Urlacher, who played safety in college, and then he played middle linebacker for the Bears and had a Hall of Fame career. Some people have compared him to Troy Polamalu, but, man, Isaiah Simmons out of Clemson, I think he's the best player, best defensive player, maybe even up for best player in this draft just because he can do so much on the defensive side. I think he's a game changer. So that's the guy who I think is the best defensive player in this draft.
Kirk Morrison, friend of the program. Check him out tonight, right? Sliwa Show, you and Sliwa during the draft?
Yeah, we got the draft at sunset on Sliwa at sunset. So it'll be fun tonight. Me and Alan taking care of the draft duties tonight. It'll be fun.
All right. Sounds good, brother. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, George. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. You too. All right. Coming up next, line it up. I'm taking two people to compete against each other in our Rams trivia. Our station trivia for the Rams swag. We're giving away T-shirt and cap. So get on right now. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. If you want to win gear and you want to go head-to-head against each other in our football format, do it right now. Laura's waiting for you. 877-710-ESPN. We're back in 4 minutes. Yeah, yeah. Today feels like a Friday, right?
I wish it was.
I mean, I don't know, dude. Every day feels the same. Let's be real here.
That's true. Yeah.
But for whatever reason, it feels like a Friday. Maybe because I'm excited because the draft is tonight. And we'll have something to talk about tomorrow, too, which will be cool. So thanks to Kirk Morrison. Thanks to Jeff Passan for joining us earlier. Again, if you missed any one of our interviews today, Jeff or Kirk, you can check out our entire interview on demand section in the Sedano Show podcast brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking account or savings account with no fees or minimums. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. And it's all presented by Progressive Insurance. And as I mentioned, our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So Mason is supposed to join us in the next segment. Now, Bergman, you have not heard from Mason before I get to the trivia competition here.
No, he was supposed to come on Tuesday, and he's like, oh, I forgot, and I didn't see it, so let's do Thursday. And I said, okay, great, let's do Thursday.
What is he doing? We're all in quarantine. Like, you can't be busy. Like, let's be real here.
He's Mason, and he likes to just take time off and stay away from everything. I have no idea.
Now, you said during the break that if he doesn't come on today, you want to ban him?
Yeah, no, he's banned. He's banned if he doesn't come on. It's twice in one week, he's out of here.
Mason, the originator of the ban, will be receiving a ban by you, Greg Bergman?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're pulling a corporate Greg move and just saying, I'm going to ban Mason from this show?
Well, look, you bail on us once. I get it. But bail on us twice in the same week where you told me the day?
I mean, listen, I normally will fight you on stuff, but you are the boss, okay, ultimately. So if you say he's banned, I don't know. We'll have to go with it. You know, maybe we'll put it to the audience at that point. All right. Anyway, who do we have on the line, Laura? Who do we have on the line competing for our Rams gear in our game today?
So we have Tim in Valencia and Giovanni in Covina.
All right. So let me talk to Tim first. Tim in Valencia. Tim, how are you?
Hey, George, you know me better as Starfish and Coffee on Twitter.
Oh, there we go. Starfish and Coffee, my guy. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you been?
Excellent, Tim. Thank you so much. All right, so who else do we have? Giovanni where, Laura?
In Covina.
Oh, Giovanni in Covina. Giovanni, how are you?
What's up, Sedano?
What's up, bud? You all good?
Great, man.
All right, so you guys ready?
We're ready.
All right, here's the deal. I'm going to explain the rules one time. And then if you have any questions, ask me, and then we'll play, okay, if you have no questions. So we are playing like college football overtime rules. You will start your drive at the 20-yard line. Now, you can put pressure on your opponent by taking the toughest question, which is the touchdown question, and going for 7 right out of the gate. It doesn't have to be out of the gate, but you can pick the hardest question to get 7 points on the board as quickly as you'd like, okay? But once you score, the other person gets their drive, and if they tie, we go to the next round. If they don't tie, the person who has the highest score after one each having one drive wins. The easiest questions are the first down questions. Technically, since you're starting at the 20, if you get three first down questions correct, you get 7 points as a touchdown. You also have a field goal question, which is in between the most difficult, which is the touchdown question, and the first down question, which is the easiest. Do you guys understand the rules?
I got it.
Okay, perfect. Laura, give me the music. All right, so I'm going to flip a coin. Giovanni, call heads or tails. Go.
Tails.
Tails it is. Giovanni, you will go first. Or actually, you can kick or defer. You can excuse me. You can defer or take the drive yourself. Giovanni?
I'll receive.
You'll receive. Yeah. Okay, you want to go first. All right, fine. All good. All right, are you ready? Here we go. What is your first you want? What is the first selection? Do you want a first down question, a field goal question, or a touchdown question?
We're going for the touchdown.
Okay, you have three downs, okay? So on the fourth one, you're going to have to make a decision. So you can go touchdown. That's fine. All right. We were just talking about Steve Mason. Steve Mason grew up in what city?
Toledo?
Toledo, Ohio is correct. You've got a touchdown right on the board already, Giovanni. Wow. Look at that. Touchdown, Giovanni. All right, so pot Giovanni down a little bit if we can. All right. So, Tim, are you ready?
Yes.
Now, you don't have to go for the touchdown right away. You can build your drive, okay? You can make take the easy ones, or, you know, you don't have to go right away for the touchdown, but you could because you get three downs, and on the fourth one, you have to make a real decision just like you would in a game. So, what are you picking?
Give me a first down question.
First down question. George Sedano, that would be me. Does what on ESPN NBA television broadcasts?
You're a sideline reporter.
That is correct. You got a first down. You are now at the 10-yard line. What do you want now?
First down question.
First down question. What newspaper does LZ Granderson write for?
The LA Times.
That is correct. Okay, now we have this. You're on the goal line. So another first down question, I would presume.
First down question.
Okay. Alan Sliwa is the host of the Sliwa Show, but what other weekly show does he host here on ESPN 710?
Oh my God, you're not going to give me Sliwa at Sunset.
No, that's technically the Sliwa Show.
That is the Sliwa Show. I don't know his other show.
All right, so so that's fine. You second down. It's Lakers Talk. It's Lakers Talk.
Lakers Talk. Okay.
Yes. All right. You want another first down question? Yes.
Yes, another first down question.
Who had this time slot from 10 a.m. to noon before me?
Stephen A. Smith.
That is correct. You scored a touchdown. Touchdown for Tim and Valencia. We are tied at 7. Now, we have enough questions. I think that we can go one more round. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, Giovanni, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, let's go. What are you picking?
Let's go touchdown, George.
Okay, here we go. John Ireland once worked in what city in Texas?
Houston.
No, that's incorrect. That is incorrect. You know what? I'm gonna not give the answers because that way, if they come up again, you know, Tim has a shot at. All right, you're second down. What do you got?
Let's go field goal.
Okay, so you're going for the... Now, you realize if you score a field goal, like, he gets the next possession, right?
And then... Okay. Then let's go touchdown, George. Let's go.
Another touchdown. All right, Keyshawn Johnson. Keyshawn Johnson, host of the morning show, was drafted number one by the Jets in what year?
'96.
That is correct. Touchdown. Touchdown. Giovanni putting the pressure on Tim. All right, Tim. What are we doing?
Give me a first down question.
Okay. Greg Bergman consistently takes what on the Sedano show?
He takes what?
That is the question. What Greg Bergman consistently takes what on the Sedano show during discussions?
Takes a break?
No, that is incorrect. Second down.
Okay.
What do you got? What do you want?
First down question.
Okay. What is the name of the morning show's producer? Need first and last name.
I don't know producers. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay, third down. What do you want to do?
First down question.
Okay. What is the name of the board operator on this show?
That's Laura.
That is correct. You got a first down. You're on the 10-yard line. What do you want to do?
First question.
First down question. Ramona Shelburne went to what college?
Oh, she's a Stanford girl.
That is correct. You're on the goal line. Wow, this is getting heavy. All right, what do you got? Another first down question?
First down question.
Let me see. Where am
I? Number six in the easy.
Okay, number six. Name both of the Kamenetsky brothers. What are their names?
Andy and Brian.
Touchdown! We are tied at 14. All right, we are going to go with sudden death. Okay? So, Giovanni, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, your name is your buzzer. Okay?
All right.
Let me see. Let me pick a good question. Let me see. What is the name of Michael Thompson's son that plays baseball?
Giovanni.
Tim got in first.
Timeout.
Go ahead,
Tim. Tim got in first? Are you sure, Greg?
Yes, he said it while you were still asking the question. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Liar, Greg.
Trey.
What is it?
Trey Thompson.
Say it again?
Trey Thompson.
That is incorrect. You're close. Go ahead, Giovanni. You can steal it. Giovanni. You dropped? No way. No way. Oh,
I don't think
no.
He knew it anyway. He didn't know it anyway. Tim was close.
Tim, you were close. It was Trace, not Trey. Trace. Okay. Thompson. So, Tim, you win. I'm sorry, Giovanni. You were so close. I didn't hear you say Tim, but Greg heard it. Greg is the arbiter here. Tim, congratulations. You win the Rams gear.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Giovanni, for listening. Sorry you didn't win this time. We're going to play the game. I think we're going to start playing this game more regularly. We're going to have some fun playing games like this more regularly. So, Tommy, if you're listening, we need swag to give away. All right, coming up next, we will find out if Mason is here. If he's not, we will have a mystery guest, and that mystery guest will decide, along with Greg, if Mason is banned from the Sedano show. That'll come up next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget, tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 6 p.m. on ESPN television, and listen to the wrap-up show with Sliwa and myself on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account immediately following the broadcast, presented by State Farm, AT&T, Cincoro Tequila, and our great friends at Coors Light. So, Greg, explain what was supposed to happen with Mason. He was supposed to be on Tuesday and then shunned us, correct?
Yes, he just didn't respond on Tuesday, and then he said, oh, you know what, I'm so sorry that I missed us. Let's do Thursday instead. And I said, great, Thursday it is, and we'll do it at 11:30, 11:40, we'll pick one, and then he goes and just has been gone ever since.
He hasn't responded to your texts.
No, not responded to my texts.
So now we have a mystery guest on. You want to ban Mason from the show. So we now have a mystery guest on that will help us determine whether or not Mason should be banned. Mystery guest, how are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Now, mystery guest, do you believe Mason should be banned for the show after missing out on two guest spots?
No.
And do you believe that this is more about Steve Mason just hating Greg Bergman at this stage of his life.
He doesn't know who Greg Bergman is.
He's dead to him, is what you're saying, mystery guest.
He has no idea who he is.
Excellent, excellent. What is your favorite part of the Mason in Ireland show, though, mystery guest? I'm curious.
Ireland.
Oh, there's the, right. Clearly, it's got to be Ireland. Yes, okay. Fair enough. All right, so... What, Greg, do you have any questions for the mystery guest?
Yeah, mystery guest. So you listen to Mason in Ireland a lot.
Every day.
Every day. Oh, good, good. So on Mason in Ireland, if someone skips out on you twice, what does Mason in Ireland do to those people?
Banned.
Yeah, banned. So dead. Mason skipped out on Sedano twice, so shouldn't the rules still apply?
Yes.
Okay, so you've changed your mind very quickly. I also didn't realize that mystery guest would sound like the Christian Bale Batman when he was coming on the show.
I'm kind of at a loss between going with the Christian Bale Batman and the old guy. I was going to slip into the old guy, but that would have been too obvious. You know what we played yesterday was, Greg, we played the call where, because Lindsay had never heard it.
Ben and La Mirada?
Yeah, we played Ben and La Mirada yesterday because Lindsay hadn't heard that. So that was kind of a cross, but that was like Ben and La Mirada with a cold. Or Will Arnett on the Lego movies.
Yes, you know? It was Lego Batman, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you guys realize that if you ban Mason from the show, it's exactly what he wants. The only thing that Mason cares about is what, Greg?
Is being heard, being seen.
No, is Mason
fame? Oh
is,
yeah,
is himself. He's asleep. There, you know, he wasn't awake on Tuesday. He's not awake now.
At 11:50.
Oh yeah, he'll get up about 1:00. You know how I know he's awake? Lindsay booked. This is a tease. We have Will Ferrell on the show today, coming up at 3:30.
Wow.
And so Lindsay's been working on this for a long time, and she got Will Ferrell, and she sent a note to us this morning that, hey, today's the day, Will Ferrell, 3:30. And Mason has yet to respond to it. So Mason would normally want to go on and come in and do a promo and start promoting it and go crazy, but he's still asleep. There's no. And Greg, you should know this. The fact that you booked Mason twice on a show that ends by noon is producer fail.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, though, because he picked the day. It wasn't that right. I said, he's like, oh, yeah, let's do Thursday. That's a better day for
me. Well, you know, Raj never books Mason, ever.
Oh, he's not awake at 9:00.
Correct. And he's not awake. He's not awake by noon.
So Chris Morales just texted me. By the way, Mason texted me at 8:38 this morning, but he probably did go back to sleep is what Morales just texted me.
Yeah, there's a chance. Or was just ending, you know, stayed up all night and texted Morales.
Like, it was supposed to be funny too, because Monday was 4:20, and so we were going to talk about what he did on 4:20.
Yeah, Mason doesn't like 4:20, believe it or not.
What?
Because too many bad things have happened on it.
Really?
Okay, do you guys know this? That 4:20 is a historic is a really sad day. Number one, it's the Columbine anniversary.
Yeah.
Number two is, I believe, and Michael was the one who brought this to our attention, it is Adolf Hitler's birthday. So Mason cannot celebrate April 20th because he says there's too many bad things associated with it. Now, 4:20 in the afternoon, there's a fairly decent chance that he's on his way to getting stoned. But on the day 4:20, he does not celebrate it like others do. There's something else. There's another really bad thing that happened on that day, too. There's three, like, horrific things that happened on George, is it possible Oklahoma City happened on that day?
I can look it up.
So for that reason, he refuses to acknowledge it as a celebratory day.
See, I would have gone the other way. I would have thought that the reason he was not going to celebrate it is because everyone else is celebrating it.
No, he says it's because all that stuff depresses him. But, I mean, it's what you choose to focus on, right? You know, yeah. It's kind of like this stuff with no sports. Like, Bill Plachke has decided that sports are dead in 2020, that there will be no sports of any kind in 2020.
I know. That's a weird take to take, I think.
It's just as easy to be optimistic as it is to be pessimistic. There may indeed be no sports, but why not think that we're going to have them? I mean, it gives us something to look forward to.
I agree.
Anthony Fauci's on there every day saying baseball could play. So why not try and play? And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Yeah, and I get the feeling, you know, Ramona and I were talking about this yesterday, that the NBA is in a position where they feel like they're close, like that, you know, that they could that all they need is to make sure that the go-ahead from the federal government is fine. Like, I think they've got contingency plans in place. So maybe not close. That's probably not the phrase to use. But they've got all the planning in place. They just need to make sure that we're headed in the right direction. And once that happens and we've got the capability as far as nationwide testing, much like Major League Baseball has taken a very similar position, according to Jeff Passan, I think we could get some semblance of sports back. Maybe not fairly soon, but I think in the summertime.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by what it'll look like. You know, I think it's a kind of a crazy lab experiment, but as long as the medical doctors give you clearance, why not try it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's millions of jobs and billions of dollars at stake. We might as well try and save them.
I say this, though, John. I don't know how you feel about this. That Las Vegas mayor boy yesterday, she was interesting, to say the least, on that Anderson Cooper interview.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh, she, he put on a textbook class of journalism there on just interviewing her. And if she opens up Vegas, I don't know if the NBA would be interested in going to Vegas if they just say, hey, everybody come to Vegas again.
Right. I know for a fact the NBA isn't doing anything without checking with the CDC and the National Health Institute, and they're all about, they're not going to do a thing without getting medical clearance. So she can say they're going to open Vegas. It doesn't mean the NBA or any other sports league is going to go there. If you talk to anybody from Adam Silver on down, everybody says we can't do anything until we have testing and until we have medical clearance. So anybody speculating that the NBA is coming back without those things is just making it up.
Right. No, for sure. Yeah, that is clearly the barometer for them. And Major League Baseball has said the same thing. They've been very public when it comes to that stuff. So, yeah, anyway. All right, so you got Will Ferrell today. Are you excited about the draft? Where are the Raiders going, John? If you were Mike Mayock, who are you picking?
Well, here's what I think about my Raiders. I like Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr could be a quarterback on a championship team. Ugh. I'm not so sure. I think John Gruden feels like you do. This is year three of John Gruden.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, even when they gave him the 10-year contract, I thought he was only going to stay five. Like, if he didn't have it turned around in five, he would walk.
Right.
I now think, I would not be shocked if the Raiders either made a trade or drafted a quarterback, whichever one of the four quarterbacks are available with either 12 or 18. I just don't think the Raiders are going to marry themselves to Derek Carr. Do you?
No, I don't think so either. I think that, look, 2016 was a long time ago now, right? And I think that they've now, he's had two seasons with him. So it's no longer just like he knows what he's capable of. And if he goes quarterback, Derek Carr's days are numbered. I actually thought his days were numbered when they signed Mariota, to be honest.
Maybe. You could be right.
Yeah. All right, man. So Will Ferrell, 3:30, you said?
All right, boys. See ya.
All right. Take care. I don't think he heard exactly anything we said.
Well, no, your last thing broke up. I lost you for like 10
Will Ferrell, 3:30, right? Yes?
Yeah.
All right, John, thank you for coming on.
George, you're very welcome.
All right, take care. Mason just called? Get out of here. Well, we got to get out of here. All right, see ya. Mason Ireland, check out Will Ferrell at 3:30. We love you guys. Have a great day.